So I was reading the other day, and I came across a statistic about how much we use our phones. So on average, how many times a day do you think the average phone user touches their phone? Any guesses? 112? Anybody else? Is it higher than that? Higher, yeah. So studies show that the average cell phone user touches their phone over 2,600 times a day. It's a lot, right? 2,600. We're staying connected because of our phones. They're so much more than a phone, right? Nowadays, they are our watches, they are our car, we can connect them to our cars, you can tap to pay, it's a flashlight, it's a calculator. We proved all those math teachers wrong that said we wouldn't have a calculator in our pocket. it clocks your steps. It can do so many things that it's become such a part of our lives. And we kind of keep it in front of us almost all the time. Now remember Psalm 16, verse 8, that says, I always put the Lord in front of me. What would our lives be like if God touched our mind as frequently as we touched our phones? So all this month, we are focusing on prayer. And last week, Mike talked about how powerful prayer is. And he encouraged all of us to go out and unleash the power of prayer in our community. And you did. Many of you did. You went to over 25 schools last weekend and prayed for them, over them, for the teachers, the students, the administrators, the professionals, the staff, the bus drivers, all were covered in prayer by this congregation. And as the month continues, we'll talk about intercessory prayer, which is praying on behalf of others. We'll talk about listening for God's voice in prayers, because it's not just a one-way type of communication. It's God speaking into our lives. And we'll also talk about some dangerous prayers. Mike mentioned that he thinks praying for God to tell you what to do is a dangerous prayer, and it is. But I think one of the most dangerous prayers is praying for patience, because then you're given opportunities to practice being patient, and nobody likes those. Today we're going to talk about persistence in prayer. And this isn't so much about how often we pray, but more about the way that we approach prayer. So we're going to be looking at a passage in Luke chapter 11, and it begins similar to the passage from Matthew that we read last week, because it begins with the Lord's Prayer, Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. And it ends with the very familiar seek, ask, knock verse that we often remember. But the part we're really going to focus on today is this little parable squeezed in between those two familiar parts, where Jesus gives us instruction on not just what to pray, but how to pray. So let's read Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you, then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So he sets up this story where he is basically telling us how to pray. At first, with the Lord's Prayer, is telling us kind of what we should pray, right? And can really be summed up as recognizing that God is great, praying that our needs would be met, and confessing that we are sinners in need of forgiveness and help. Kind of sums up the Lord's Prayer. But then he goes into this parable, and on the surface, it seems a little out of place, right? It seems a little incongruent to jump to that. But when we examine it, we'll see that Jesus is moving from teaching us what to pray and teaching us how to approach our prayers. He sets up this story where someone is surprised by a late night guest and they need to provide food for them. It was not uncommon for people to travel at night because it was cooler than during the day. And so they showed up sort of hungry and in need of rest in the middle of the night. And during the first century, loaves of bread, he asked for 3 loaves of bread, which you might think, wow, that's a lot of bread for one person. But they were very small, and they were normally baked and eaten in the same day. And so when the guest shows up at midnight, the host has none and is unprepared. And to really appreciate this, we have to think about how important hospitality was in the time of Jesus. For Jews, hospitality was more than just being nice or being polite. It was a duty. And your reputation for whether or not you had good hospitality or not was kind of on the line. If you refused, then you might lose honor. And even more than a social duty, it was a religious mandate for the Jewish people. The Hebrew Bible commanded them in Leviticus to show hospitality to strangers as a remembrance of their time as strangers in Egypt. And there's even the idea that hospitality was linked to divine encounters, such as when Abraham and Sarah hosted the 3 strangers who turned out to be messengers, giving them the news of Isaac's birth. And so this first century hospitality was so much more than being nice. It was a sacred duty, and it was an expression of community and faith. So in the story, you are the one knocking. A guest shows up, you have nothing to give them. So Jesus says you go to a neighbor's house and you begin knocking, asking for bread to feed your guest. This is a bold move. Can you imagine doing that now? Going to your neighbor's house and knocking on the door? And we're talking about like a one-room house, so you're not just waking up your neighbor, you're waking up the whole household. I imagine the mother of this house maybe just got like an infant or a toddler to go to sleep, and then you come knocking on the door. Mama's gonna be mad. And these days, we don't even answer the door unless we're expecting someone, right? We want a text or a phone call first. Somebody knocking on our door that we don't know, we're like, are you expecting someone? Why is there somebody at the door? Of course, we have our little cameras that we check to see if we really want to answer it or not. But the text says that you are persistent, and it is that persistence that gets the neighbor out of bed to answer you. But it's really so much more than persistence the way that we understand it. The Greek word that is used here is anideia, which really means shamelessness. And it's often translated as persistence, but the word itself, and it really is translated that way because of the reference that it's linked to the ask, the seek, the knock, where we get that persistence. But the word itself in Greek, it doesn't mean persistence. It means shamelessness, a boldness that casts off restraint or social convention, a shamelessness that would lead you to bang on your neighbor's door in the middle of the night. And in our world, shamelessness usually conveys a negative connotation. To say someone has no shame is usually a judgment, right? But here in this Greek, this word and its connotation, it's the shamelessness of a faith-led believer who's not halted by human fear or convention, but is carrying out God's purpose. And so the NRSV that we read today does translate it as persistence, But I think that the New International Version gets it closer to the original meaning. It translated it as shameless audacity. Audacity is another word that's often negative for us. Somebody does something rude and we sort of clutch our pearls and say, oh, the audacity. But to be audacious is to be bold, to be brave, to try new things. Shameless audacity. I really am starting to love that phrase as it relates to how we approach God and our life as Christians. And in the parable, it's Jesus telling us how we should pray, that we should approach God with shameless audacity, that we should approach God with boldness and confidence, not holding back and making requests, even if they seem bold and daring. Is that how you pray? Confidently and boldly? I have to be honest and tell you that that's not always how I pray. Sometimes I feel like I'm approaching God like a child who knows that they have done something wrong. God, I got to tell you this, and you're not going to like it. Or sometimes it's like I'm asking for a favor. Like, I know you're busy, but maybe if you could. I don't want to be a burden. But Jesus is telling us that that's not how we should approach God. We should approach God with confidence and boldness, fully trusting in his goodness. And it reminds me of the woman in Luke 8, if you go back a few chapters and read her story. Remember, this woman had been bleeding for 12 years, and she had tried everything. She had given all of her money. She had gone to all the priests, and she was still bleeding, and she was suffering. And so she fought her way close to Jesus, believing that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. And so she did. She didn't even ask for healing. She just took it. She was desperate. She went forward with shameless audacity. And when Jesus sensed the power go out of him, he turned and he said, "Who touched me?" And she, frightened, admitted that it was her. But he wasn't angry. He commended her faith. Her faith for believing that if she could just be with Jesus, that by his power, she would be healed. I think there's a lesson there for us. She was desperate. The neighbor knocking on the door was desperate. And I don't think the lessons that we should wait to pray until we are desperate, because that's often what a lot of us do, right? We kind of do everything within our own power, and then we go to God in prayer. No. The lesson is to always pray as if we are desperate, because we are. We are as desperate as this woman crawling towards the hem of Jesus. We are desperate people in need of God's help. And God wants to give it. That's what the rest of it, verses 9 through 13, is all about. It's all about God wanting to give us his goodness. Jesus isn't saying that we overcome God's reluctance with our persistence. The problem is not God's reluctance to answer. The problem is our timidity, our reluctance to ask, our hesitation to pray boldly, to pray with shameless audacity. Notice how Jesus ends the teaching in 11, verse 13. If you, being evil, how much more will my heavenly Father? This is a parable of contrast, not comparison. We are not supposed to compare the heavenly Father to the annoyed neighbor who finally gets out of bed. We are supposed to contrast him to that. He's not giving in to our persistence. He is asking us to be as bold as the one knocking on the door. He is asking us to trust, to know that every prayer is heard and answered. Mike reminded us last week that there are no unanswered prayers. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's not yet. And I know that there are times when we feel discouraged and doubtful, when we feel like our prayers aren't being answered in the way that we want or the timing that we want. But those are the times that we can lean into our faith, trusting in God's wisdom and goodness and God's timing. With this story, which seems so out of place, it's really a lesson on prayer. Jesus is telling us to pray with shameless audacity. You know, normally when we say that somebody is shameless or without shame, it means that they're not worried about what they're doing and how it makes them look. If a person is audacious, they're doing something boldly. They ignore common convention, like waiting until the morning to ask for a favor from a neighbor. They just go for it. And that's how we need to pray. And not just for ourselves, but for others as well. We'll talk about intercessory prayer next week, praying on behalf of others. But those prayers need to be bold too. Have you ever felt the urge to tell somebody that you will pray for them, but you're kind of afraid to tell them that because you think they might take it the wrong way? Or maybe you've felt the Holy Spirit prompting you to pray for someone right there out loud in front of other people, but you don't, because you're kind of afraid of how that might go, what people might think. Our vision here at Atascocita Methodist is to see this community transformed by a deep love of God and neighbor, and that will never happen without prayer. Prayers from us on the staff, prayers from you all, more importantly, as the congregation. So let us pray with boldness, with conviction, with shameless audacity that people around us may even be a little shocked by. Let us pray now. Gracious and loving God, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude, knowing that you hear us when we call out to you. We thank you for the powerful reminder that you invite us to approach your throne with boldness, trusting in your goodness and your mercy. Lord, forgive us for the times that we've held back, for the moments that we've allowed doubt or fear or weariness or our own feelings of unworthiness to silence our prayers. Fill us now with the courage to persist in our prayers, to knock on heaven's door with an unwavering faith. Help us to remember that you are a loving Father who delights in giving good gifts to his children. May we never grow weary of coming to you with our needs, believing that you are able and willing to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. And as we leave this place, may we carry with us a renewed spirit of prayer, a determination to pray with persistence and a deep trust in your unfailing love. God, we ask that you would empower us to intercede for others with the same boldness, to lift up those who cannot lift themselves, and to stand in the gap with faith that moves mountains. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus, who taught us to pray with confidence and who is our ever-present help in times of need. Amen.